Good afternoon, 4:30 and 51 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
The Block Grant Program would be a horrendous step back for this state in terms of dealing with our medical care needs.
State Senator Reggie Thomas says block granting the Medicaid program would be horrible for Kentucky.
Governor Bevin says felony offenders should have a better crack at state jobs.
And the closing of two utility plants in Ohio will hurt Maysville.
In sports, the MSU women's basketball team hosts Murray State tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy this evening, lows in the upper 20s, the complete forecast after this news.
Governor Matt Bevin today signed an executive order that permits Kentuckians who violated the law to avoid checking a box on state job applications that indicates they have a criminal record. The Republican says his fair chance order gives felons a second opportunity to compete for state jobs and reduces the possibility they'll become repeat offenders. Bevin stresses the directive applies only to state employment. However, he wouldn't mind if Kentucky businesses followed his lead.
I am strongly encouraging every private sector company to consider doing exactly what we've done, to look at their own methodology, their own need for employees, their own ability to vet this any other way they want in a different form or fashion, and remove from the very front of their application any indication that would prevent any individual from sitting down and being able to make their case for why they're the best person for the job.
The governor says the order could help hundreds of thousands of Kentuckians obtain employment. He says one in five Americans has a criminal conviction.
A proposal by Dayton Power and Light to close a pair of coal-fired plants in Adams County, Ohio, will have a big impact on his city. That word comes from Maysville Mayor David Cartmell. Cartmell says a number of residents from his community have jobs at the Stewart and Killen stations.
One of those plants, I think, has 354, and the other one has 116. But I think there are additional 500 contractors, and that's what really hurts. And then you have your vendors here, you know.
DP&L has agreed to a six-year settlement plan with nine intervening complainants, which, if approved by the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, will mean the shuttering of the two plants by the middle of 2018. Cartmell says the news means Maysville will have to work harder to bring more jobs to the area.
Carter Judge Executive Mike Malone is upset about a company's decision to drop its plan to build a medical waste transfer station in his county. Medical Waste Services has informed the Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet that it is withdrawing its application for the proposed facility near Carter City. Malone blames that decision on those who protested against the project and who'd claimed the company was going to be processing body parts and burying them on site. Malone says neither allegation was true.
If it had gone right, we had a good shot at getting another 17 to 25 more jobs here on top of that. And they would have been good paying jobs. But, you know, I think minimum wage on it was $13. And, they were insulted. They were called liars. I was embarrassed.
Malone says Medical Waste Services had eventually planned to hire up to 25 people for the transfer station, which would have shipped its waste to Boyd County. The judge hopes the company will reconsider.
A major online retail company could bring over 2,500 jobs to northern Kentucky through an investment in air cargo. The Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles has the story.
The Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Airport in Boone County will be home to a new Amazon air cargo hub. It's an investment of more than $1 billion.
It's just a big deal for our region. With 600 full-time jobs and over 2,000 part-time jobs, you can never have enough of those.
Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce President Trey Grayson. The state approved millions of dollars in incentives for the online retail company. I'm Paul Miles.
A state senator and former hospital administrator says the Affordable Care Act should be repealed because it has not accomplished what it was designed to do, Republican Stephen Meredith and Democrat Mary Lou Marzian discussed the ACA on KET's Kentucky Tonight. Marzian denies that the ACA has caused health care costs to skyrocket. However, Meredith says he had a bird's-eye view of the financial situation when he was CEO of Twin Lakes Regional Medical Center.
It's too expensive. It's too much regulation. And all the things we were promised that would occur have not occurred, aside from giving people some access to health care they hadn't had before. But you've got to ask, at what price can we do that?
Before the Affordable Care Act, when we just let insurance companies run things, which the state did and many states did, they cherry-picked. So you could get a low premium, but if you had to use it, then they dropped you or it didn't cover anything. So people say, oh, it's so expensive. Well, it covers things, and it's not that expensive.
Marzian is a retired nurse. She says the ACA's protection of benefits for people with pre-existing conditions who were once denied coverage by insurance companies because of them needs to be maintained in Kentucky.
The chairwoman of the Powell County Democratic Party says it's apparent that President Obama's administration did a horrible job promoting the Federal Affordable Care Act in Kentucky. Josie Holland has admitted that in an interview with Spectrum Cable's Pure Politics. Holland says more than 1,000 Powell County residents were able to obtain health insurance because of the ACA, but the county voted heavily Republican last November. She sells insurance at her Stanton office and noticed the PR problem early on.
They will come into the office and say, I don't want the Obamacare, but I would like the affordable health care. But you try to explain it and they are so against that president that they don't really want to, you know, they don't want to talk about that. So we really don't even mention the Obamacare. It's just the affordable health care.
Holland says Democrats need to work better at the grassroots level explaining their policy initiatives. If Republicans have better health care alternatives, Holland says, they should put them on the table, but they've yet to do so.
Louisa now has an alcohol and drug treatment center for pregnant women. Here is MSPR's Kenzie Thompson.
According to the Daily Independent, Karen's Place Maternity Center provides 16 different beds for soon-to-be mothers who struggle with drug use and seek opioid detoxification, stabilization, residential treatment, and skills in neonatal care. CEO of Addiction Recovery Care, Tim Robinson, says that in 2014, over 1,400 babies were born with neonatal abstinence syndrome in Kentucky. These services can begin at the start of their pregnancy and last until 3 months after delivery. The center provides counseling, peer support groups, and clinical programming as well. Kentucky houses 6 other substance abuse treatment centers, including 3 for women and 3 for men. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
For a second straight year, Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital in Russell is on the list of the best places to work in Kentucky. OLBH is one of 100 companies in the Commonwealth to receive the honor from the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce and the Kentucky Society for Human Resource Management. Our Lady of Bellefonte is just one of 9 hospitals to be named to the 13th annual Best Places to Work in Kentucky list. They were chosen in the large employer division. Spokesman Kevin Compton says OLBH has a reputation of caring and healing its patients.
For those of us who are on the inside, who work here, we also know that not only are patients and their families treated well, but that we as employees are also treated well. It makes it great to come in the morning to do our job.
OLBH received high marks on a survey of 350 of its employees who were asked about their workplace.
U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts was in Kentucky today. Josh James has that story.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great privilege to welcome to the University of Kentucky today the Chief Justice of the United States, John G. Roberts, Jr. Please join me in making him welcome.
It's hard to imagine a bigger get for the UK College of Law. With Roberts recently swearing in a new president and learning only hours ago the name of the next nominee to the bench, but the Chief Justice wasn't asked to weigh in on Gorsuch or President Trump's controversial executive order on immigration, which seems destined to eventually land on Roberts' docket. Instead, the George W. Bush appointee presented a short history of Kentucky's many connections to the High Court and discussed his responsibilities as Chief Justice. Speaking with James Duff, director of the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts, Roberts reflected on the power dynamic on the court since Justice Antonin Scalia passed away last February.
We obviously, I think, tried to talk about cases a little more in conference if it looked like we were going to be evenly divided.
Mm-hmm.
Tried maybe a little harder to find some common ground that could allow us to reach a particular decision.
Roberts offered few predictions, but said he sees major cases involving federal health reform and Dodd-Frank on the horizon. The Chief Justice did not take questions from reporters. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A law professor at Northern Kentucky University says President Trump's pick for the U.S. Supreme Court will probably appease some voters who've been unhappy with the Republicans' performance so far. However, Ken Katkin says Colorado Judge Neil Gorsuch may not end up being the most conservative member of the high court.
This will be somewhat of a curative for that. I think some Republicans will say, well, we got something out of Trump being in the White House. He's given us a the kind of Supreme Court pick that we really want. If you're thinking of like liberal to conservative on this court, I'm going to say probably Justice Thomas and Justice Alito are more conservative than I expect Judge Gorsuch to be.
Katkin says it's unlikely Democrats will be able to block Gorsuch's nomination.
Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell is applauding President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court. McConnell said in a Twitter video that Judge Neil Gorsuch is very qualified.
The president made an outstanding choice with Neil Gorsuch. Judge Gorsuch has an impressive background and a record of faithfully applying the law and the Constitution.
McConnell hopes Gorsuch receives full support from the Senate despite recent election results.
While saying it would be a nice skill to have, the head of Morehead State's Board of Regents says possessing a working knowledge of the university's 22-county service region will not be the deciding factor in choosing the school's next president. Paul Goodpaster chairs the BOR.
I think a person can learn the region. A person is obviously going to be out meeting with people across our region. So I really think that working with folks in the region as well as, the administration and the leadership that we have on campus, I don't know that that is an absolute top priority in our next president.
Goodpaster says the top skills MSU's president will need to have will include the ability to raise money and increase enrollment, along with being able to work through the state's plan to employ performance-based funding for higher education. Morehead State's Board of Regents plans to name a replacement for retiring President Wayne Andrews by late March.
A man accused of murdering a Marine has appeared in a Lexington courtroom. The story from Suzanne Duvall.
Dewan Malazam and another man are charged with robbery and murder in the 2014 shooting death of Jonathan Price. Price and his wife were both shot outside a Lexington bar. Jonathan died. His wife survived. Judge Pamela Goodwine in court Tuesday.
It was a murder and a robbery involving two individuals who had nothing to do with these defendants. They were simply celebrating, I believe, her birthday.
The judge set bond at $100,000 for Malazam. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
A Knox County man was recently arrested in Fleming County on child pornography charges. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Charles Jones was alleged to be in possession of child pornography by the Barberville Police Department in 2014 when he worked as a professor at Union College. Jones left Barberville before being arrested. It was recently discovered he was living in Wallingford. The Fleming County Sheriff's Office apprehended him on January 21st. Jones was charged in Knox County District Court yesterday with distribution and possession of child pornography. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, your weather is going to be partly cloudy with lows in the upper 20s. Thursday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 30s. Thursday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy with lows dipping into the lower 20s. Friday, mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-30s. Friday night, mostly clear, lows in the mid-teens. Saturday, sunny with highs in the upper 30s. And Sunday, cloudy with a 70% chance of rain or snow and highs in the mid-40s. Temperatures for the region, it's currently 49 degrees in Ashland, 47 in Flemingsburg, 52 in Inez, 51 degrees in Lexington, 50 degrees in Winchester, and it is currently 51 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is good to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, a host of West Virginia University students voiced their opposition this week to President Trump's travel restrictions for seven Middle Eastern countries. Ann Lee reports.
Welcome here, okay? No fear. Everyone is welcome here.
In the freezing cold, snowy night, students and faculty gathered on Woodburn Circle at West Virginia University on Monday to show support for those affected by President Trump's executive order. Layla Sakal, a senior pre-med student at WVU who was born in Charleston, is one of those affected. Her Syrian grandmother is stuck in the United Arab Emirates.
We've been working for a visa for her to come here and stay with us for over, 2 years, which just got approved last month, and we were planning on going to get her in March and coming back because she's too sick to travel alone.
But because of the executive order, which bans travel for individuals from Syria in addition to Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen, those plans have been canceled. The presidents of at least three academic organizations, WVU, West Virginia State University, and Marshall University, have pledged their support for international students and faculty affected by the ban.
You may not realize how quickly word spreads in an administrative structure, but as soon as the executive order was issued, we were on it.
That was Joyce McConnell, the provost of WVU, at an open forum held Monday evening to address concerns regarding the executive order. WVU estimates that the order affects about 140 students and faculty. Barbara Bauer, an immigration lawyer from Pittsburgh, also fielded questions from the WVU international community. She emphasized that the executive order was written so broadly that not even immigration lawyers can say for certain how it will be enforced or which demographics of people will be affected.
If you are from any of those seven countries, if you don't have to travel abroad, I would encourage you to stay here.
Senator Joe Manchin also released a statement Monday evening opposing the executive order. The Democrat says he supports the extreme vetting of immigrants, but says he's concerned that the executive order was not, quote, properly vetted by senior security advisors and members in the administration, unquote. West Virginia's Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito had not released a statement regarding the executive order as of Monday night. In a statement to the Charleston Gazette, Representative Evan Jenkins said that vetting immigrants keeps the country safe, but asked the Trump administration to clarify the parameters of this specific executive order. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ann Lee in Morgantown.
4:47, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Morehead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Morehead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State women's basketball team is at Johnson Arena this evening at 6 o'clock to face Murray State. Coach Greg Todd expects it to be another tough OVC game for his Eagles, noting that outside of first place and unbeaten Belmont, all of the teams in the league are pretty evenly matched.
Anybody could really win on at any site. It's just that it's. I've been coaching a while. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite as balanced as our league is for 11 spots. So it's going to be very interesting.
Murray State is 4-4 in the OVC. Tonight could be a high-scoring affair. While the Eagles average over 71 points a game, the Racers click for nearly 75. The MSU men's basketball team, meanwhile, is enjoying a rare week where it doesn't play again until Saturday. At 6-3 in conference, the Eagles visit Southeast Missouri on Saturday. Junior guard Miguel DeSint says they've been working to tune up their game.
I think the most important thing is defense right now, because I feel like offensively, as you know, anybody on this team can bring it. You know what I'm saying? So we got to focus on the defense.
By allowing over 77 points a game, MSU ranks 11th in the 12-team OVC in scoring defense. However, they do lead the league by scoring an average of almost 82 points per contest. The 8th-ranked Kentucky basketball team is breathing a sigh of relief after ending its two-game losing streak with a 90-81 overtime win against Georgia last night at Rupp Arena. Malik Monk's 37 points led 18-4 UK. He had 8 of his markers in the extra period. Coach John Calipari says the Cats were lucky to come away with a W.
I don't know how we won, to be honest. One, they played well. We went zone, and I got to give credit to Tony Barbie. I'm not a zone coach. I don't like zone. And for 2 days, we've been playing zone. We had to do it because we needed to get back to being sharp against it, but we also were playing big lineups.
The Cats forced Georgia into 17 turnovers and held the Bulldogs to 2 of 6 from the field in overtime. UK visits number 24 Florida on Saturday. The Round County girls basketball team has a tough one on the road tonight as they visit 16-5 Mason County at 7:30. The Lady Vikings will be trying to end a 3-game losing streak. Coach Elaine Douglas admits it's been an up-and-down ride this season for her young and inexperienced team, which has dealt with more than its fair share of injuries and illnesses.
When you're trying to, you know, get some chemistry among 5 or 6 kids and you keep losing one every game, it's tough. So they've really come on and learned to play some varsity basketball. It just takes time. We've went through a lot of growing pains.
The Lady Vikings have a 9-13 record this season. Today is National Signing Day for college football. Moorhead State has officially announced 3 new additions, including 6'3" quarterback Zach Harden from Richmond. As for the Kentucky football team, they received 24 letters of intent today, giving the Cats a 26th ranked class in the country, according to Rivals.com. 4-star athlete Lynn Bowden headlines the class, who picked Kentucky over Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State. Kentucky assistant coach Vince Morrow had high praise for the 6-foot Bowden.
I will go on a record of saying this, and we signed the best player in Ohio. Lynn Bowden is the best player in Ohio. And if you ask probably 30 reporters that cover Ohio football, they all will say he's the best player in Ohio. Everyone I talk to say this kid is just unbelievable.
Louisville's 22-member class is ranked as the 28th best class in the country. Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, and LSU earned the top 5 classes. History will be on the line for the New England Patriots at Sunday Super Bowl in Houston. AP correspondent Adam Spallone reports.
The New England Patriots will try to join the Dallas Cowboys, Pittsburgh Steelers, and San Francisco 49ers as the only teams in NFL history to win 5 Super Bowls when they take on the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51. A win would give New England its 2nd championship in 3 seasons and its 5th in 15 years. The Patriots are appearing in a record 9th Super Bowl, and with a loss, they join the Denver Broncos as the only teams in league history to lose the game 5 times. Adam Spolane, Houston.
The Moorhead State softball team gets the 2017 season underway a week from Friday with the tournament in Georgia. The Eagles start the season with 17 straight road games, but head coach David Williams doesn't think it will have much of an impact on his club.
It's the same thing every year. We usually play the first 4 weekends away, and they're used to it. I mean, the excitement around just getting out and playing another opponent, and getting on the field and suiting up in your uniform and getting to square off against somebody other than yourselves will take care of itself. I mean, I don't know if that changes whether you're home or away. The excitement around the first game is going to be the same regardless where we're at.
The Eagles will face St. Louis to start the season in the Kennesaw State Tournament on February the 10th. Finally, in sports, according to the team website, the Cincinnati Reds are close to a reunion with pitcher Bronson Arroyo. The report says the club could sign the soon-to-be 40-year-old right-hander to a minor league contract and then invite him to its spring training camp. Arroyo says a reunion with Cincy would be a good fit for both he and the team since he could provide the Reds pitching staff with some much-needed veteran leadership.
There's just a very young staff here. Also, you know, having Brian Price know what I could do with maybe limited stuff, you know. If I go out there throwing 85 miles an hour, he's not going to be panicked as some managers might be. So it's just a good fit, hopefully, for me to find a place to pitch healthy again.
Because of elbow problems, Arroyo hasn't pitched in the big leagues since 2014. He says he is now healthy. Arroyo won 105 games for the Reds from 2006 through 2013. That's it for sports. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host Murray State tonight. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly higher after the Federal Reserve kept interest rates unchanged, as was widely expected. The Dow finishing with a gain of 26.85 at 19,890.94. The S&P 500 was up 0.68 at 2279.55, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 27.86 at 5642.65. There was little in the post-meeting communique from the Fed today to indicate when the committee might resume its rate normalization process. However, Fed officials did take note of a change in mood, saying measures of consumer and business sentiment have improved of late. The Fed raised rates for just the second time in a decade at its December meeting, and the central bank also signaled the possibility of 3 rate hikes this year when they did meet in December. And of course, the market is certainly anticipating that the Fed will probably move at least 3 times this year in terms of raising rates. In economic news, the latest report from ADP and Moody's showed private companies added 246,000 jobs in January, well above the expected 165,000. January also turned in the best single-month performance since June. Other data released included the IHS Market Manufacturing Index's final read for January, which showed the strongest manufacturing production growth for almost 2 years. The ISM Manufacturing Index for January came in with a 56 reading, above an expected read of 55. December construction spending fell 0.2%, while economists had forecast a gain of 0.4%. On the earnings front, Dow component Apple reported better-than-expected quarterly results after the close yesterday, as the firm said it sold more expensive iPhones. Its future guidance came in at the lower end of expectations. The stock was very strong today, though. It was up more than 6%. Companies reporting before the bell included ADP, Johnson Controls, and Altria, with all three topping bottom-line expectations but reporting lighter-than-expected revenues. Facebook was in the news today after the close, as the company reported strong earnings, and the stock was up over 2% in after-hours trading. U.S. crude oil futures for March delivery rose 28 cents to finish at $53.09 a barrel. Gold futures for April delivery fell $5.50, finishing at $1,205.90 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Apple and DuPont, and your worst performers were Microsoft and United Technologies. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Avery Dennison and Apple, and the worst performers were Citrix Systems and Pitney Bowes. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 36 cents at 119.39, CSX up 70 cents at 47.09, AEP down 97 cents at 63.09, AK Steel down 29 cents at 7.79, Marathon Petroleum down 33 cents at 47.72, and Anthem was up $6.29 to finish at 160.43. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one final look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight partly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s. Thursday will be mostly sunny with highs in the upper 30s. Thursday night partly cloudy, then becoming mostly cloudy as the night continues, lows in the lower 20s. Friday mostly cloudy with highs in the mid 30s. Friday night mostly clear with lows in the mid teens. Saturday will be sunny with highs in the upper 30s. Saturday night, clouds roll in and bring with it a 70% chance of snow with lows in the upper 20s. That chance sticks around until Sunday, cloudy with a chance of rain or snow with highs in the mid 40s. And Monday will be partly sunny with highs in the upper 40s. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, it's currently 49 degrees in Ashland. Flemingsburg is sitting at 47, 52 in Inez. Lexington is sitting at 51 degrees, it's 50 degrees in Winchester, and it is currently 51 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles and Suzanne Duvall. And from West Virginia Public Broadcasting, Ann Lee. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.